Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
A lot of times people get on and say, where do I start? We always say start in red, MAPS anabolic, because that's the foundation.
We just want them to know.
But if you always train in that kind of strength and traditional lifting, you might want to go into MAPS performance, which is your mobility-based.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you've always been in really low volume.
Okay, let's hear you explain.
You might want to get into
the
MAPS aesthetic.
I want to hear you explain this.
Right. And so who would start in MAPS aesthetic, Adam?
Who would start?
Yeah, who would be a good candidate to start an aesthetic? Yeah.
Well, it could be a couple different types of people. So if you're an athlete, somebody who trains for a sport most of the time, and so you do a lot of plyometric work, you do a lot of functional mobility type movements, you would be a great person for that. Even somebody who is like a power lifter. If you are a power lifter all the time and you strength train majority of the time and you don't do a lot of hypertrophy or aesthetic training, then those people would be phenomenal to go right into aesthetic. Although, I really feel like red is going to be the foundation for almost everybody, wouldn't you think? Unless you're a strength based type person,
that's, you can start and do the MAPS programs individually,
right?
Absolutely, there's nothing wrong with that. But we did put them together in a bundle in that order because that's a fantastic order to go through. Like our super bundle.
Yeah, the reason why we did that was if you were going to hire one of us as a personal trainer.
Exactly.
This is exactly what I would take someone through. And that is literally every single person.
That's right.
Unless I had like a very specific person who's like, oh, I want to do this for the next 12 weeks. What is the best program for you? And that's where I think that would be the only difference. Like if someone came up and said, I want to work on my squat and deadlift strength, and out of all the programs you have, which one do you think I should focus the most on to improve that? And I only got 12 weeks. Where should I start? I
would say,
okay, maybe I'd start you in red. Or if somebody came up to me and they said, you know, Adam, I've got the next 12 weeks, you know, or a couple months I'm training before. I've got something coming up and I got to run like a marathon or do this. And, you know, my hips have been really achy and I've got all these aches and pains I'm dealing with. And, you know, which one of these would I start? Well, I'd start you with mobility right away.
Well, it's true because, like, if you like, I was trying to think of a scenario where you wouldn't go MAPS red, but it's like there's not a lot of programs out there that are like MAPS red. And I think that's why that, you know, that's kind of like our starting point, because even if you've done hypertrophy training or you've done strength-based training that's similar and has a similar, you know, you could, the way that we have it all figured out and the way that we had put it all together, like I think is a good thing to experience even still. And then the natural progression there is to do, you know, the next phases that we put forward.
Right. Well, check this out. You can go to mindpumpmedia.com. You can look at all the programs individually, kind of see what's in them, and you can, if you want to, enroll in them individually like a lot of people have, or which we've put together more recently is what we call the super bundle, where you get all of our MAPS programs, MAPS anabolic, which is red, MAPS performance, which is green, and MAPS aesthetic, which is black. You get all of them, and it's basically 9 months of exercise program where you go from programming where you go from one to the other for 9 months. At the end of it, you make a pretty fantastic transformation, and because you're getting all of them, you get a massive discount. All of this is available right now, mindpumpmedia.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
The San Jose Fit Expo was this weekend.
It was.
And we went there once, and then I wasn't able to go the second time, but you guys went. And, you know, we get recognized by people. People want to take pictures, but just to tell what happened.
So we were starting to get a little more attention, which is awesome. You know, it's awesome to get recognized and to get kind of pulled in for pictures and stuff like that randomly. So, you know, we were kind of walking, me and Adam this time, it was just me and Adam, walking through, and this group of girls come over, and they're, you know, they're all young, attractive girls and everything. And so, you know, we were just like walking over like, oh man, sweet. You know, they recognized us, you know? And the one girl kind of comes up to Adam and just like, excuse me. He's like, oh yeah.
Adam's like, oh yeah, they're gonna recognize
what's
me.
Up? Yeah. Oh, here's my phone. Can you take a picture for me and all my friends?
I was wondering where you were gonna go with this. I was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, he's ready to sign shit.
All these, it's like this group of hot chicks, they're like, excuse me, and you're like, oh,
are you the wizard?
You must know me from my show.
I'm not gonna lie.
Like, no, can you hold my phone for me, please, and take this, you minion.
Only because we are so self-depreciating. Am I going to admit that inside of me, I totally was like, oh, I did. There was they did it too, because there was. It was a whole group of cute girls, and yes. They come running. I'm like, oh my God. And she did. She grabbed me like that. She's like, oh my God. And I was
grabbed
like,
grabbed his arm.
And it wasn't like I was ready to sign anything, but I was like, yeah, you know, like she's going to talk to me about my
I'll take a picture. And yeah.
And then she did say too, can we take a picture? And then I was thinking she wants to take a picture with me.
No, whatever.
And she hands me the phone, then she goes back to her group of friends, and I'm like, oh, I'm taking the picture of their group.
I'm doing it. Oh.
Bro, you know what I would have done in that situation?
I know Justin was just laughing at me.
Oh, no. I would have flipped the camera without her knowing and taken 10 pictures of myself and then handed her the phone and walked away.
Perfect.
You know what I'm saying? Then she'll open her phone. Oh, my God. It's his face. Oh,
that's who it was.
That was. You know what? Something else that happened. Speaking of the Fit Expo, so... Justin and I went back.
Otherwise known as Supplement Extravaganza.
Chemical Apalooza.
So you didn't get
all there.
Get your bag of chemicals. See you later.
We went.
Nobody's going to. They're going to kick us out.
It's pretty crazy, dude. People wait in these ridiculous lines to get these free samples of supplements. And it's.
Bro, the line for the bodybuilder.com booth was like out the door.
Whoever thought of this first, I don't know who started the trend or who started. It was brilliant. Absolutely. What it reminded me of, correct me if I'm wrong here, if you guys think differently, it totally reminded me of on Halloween night, all the kids that are running around getting candy. Your kids, you know,
yes.
the same excitement, the same stupid outfits.
Yeah, they're wearing gear and everything. Yeah, they're like all in these stringer, you know, tank tops.
You got bad outfits.
The same like duffel bag thing.
Tons of makeup.
Around.
It looks just like Halloween, bro.
They're all getting their trick or treating. You know, like, oh, here, I want a fat burner.
I hate saying this because
Instagram photo.
Because some of these kind of people might be listeners, but
probably a lot. We shouldn't talk too much shit here.
I was
going to come around with this here.
I saw more than a few dudes randomly having their shirts off, and they're not in the booths or anything. They're like, oh, I'm gonna. I really wanted to trip them. Yeah, let me take off my shirt real quick and try the shirt on.
I'm okay with that. If you're,
of course,
because you're checking them out.
I'm okay with that. If you're buff, you're allowed to do that. That's how I feel.
I just pull out my dick then? Because
it's what?
Cause it's like an anaconda.
Because it's just a little bit bigger than average. You sure, bro? If you want to.
Still bigger than average.
Yeah, careful though. I might flick it if you do that. Yeah, you're more than welcome to.
That's winning.
Your finger.
No, so. You know, I meant the kids thing. I was teasing about making fun of everybody who gets in the. You know, it's free. Yeah. It's free stuff. Yeah. Some of you might be really smart too. You get it, then you turn around and sell it on Amazon or Craigslist. That would probably be even
smart. Or
you
take it all at the same time, like I do.
Yeah, right. Some people. Oh my God, the video that we posted of you sniffing and getting ready to drink. People were like terrified that. Oh my God, Sal really drank.
They were depressed.
A supplement. Like, yeah. Oh my God, like, dude, this motherfucker has had a supplement before.
You guys.
Hold on a second. Sometimes I do. Have bad shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll sometimes have a sugary Red Bull or a sugar free one, or sometimes we just talk about it.
This
like,
is
don't,
why
don't like make it like whoa. Part of your daily life.
This is why I told you, I'm gonna share some of our private.
Damn, what's gonna happen? We're gonna be out one day.
No, I'm gonna share.
Be like, I'll have a Red Bull vodka. Everyone's gonna be like, fuck.
Listen to me. This is why you fucked yourself, bro. And I explained this earlier. I'm gonna let the listeners in some inside conversation with us off air. And, you know, we talked about early on when we first started this, one of the very early episodes, was it a Q&A or something? I don't remember what it was, but we talked about being, if we won the lotto or whatever, like what we'd do with money. And there's like off air, there was like shit talking back and forth between us, you know, like teasing each other, like, dude, Adam would totally like blow all his money on all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, listen, dude, I'm really not like that. I'm actually have pretty good balance, when it comes to things like that. I'm not, obviously I wouldn't be where I'm at if I just blew all my fucking money. But I said that on air because I don't want to be the douchebag who you guys run into like in 2 years when I'm fucking making all kinds of crazy money and I'm driving around a Lamborghini and you're like, what an asshole. He said he was going to donate all his money to charities and startup nonprofits, like Sal said. So now I told Sal,
first of all,
you're going to be stuck driving that Jetta for the rest of your life now, dude. Because anybody sees you driving a hella nice car, or they see you drinking, and then I talk shit about all the stuff that I've done. So if someone sees me drinking a speed stack, they're not going to freak out. I can eat gelato. No one's going to freak out because I admit all that stuff. Or Sal's like, well, it hurts my tummy and I want to help all these people in need. You know, so
hold on a second. Let's get something straight.
I'm way up here. You guys are down here.
That's true. That's true. I mean, let's get one thing straight. First of all, the same things that excite you don't necessarily excite me. Like buying a Lamborghini would not be that exciting.
Mm.
That being said, that episode
really
buying a Lamborghini.
You wouldn't think that'd be an exciting process?
It'd be awesome, but it wouldn't be like I wouldn't want to own.
Hey, remind me. Awesome. Hey, remind me. Like, whatever.
Hey, remind me when we go in it that you get shotgun permanently.
Yes.
You got back seat.
I just have a back seat.
You better hope so. You're gonna be in a trunk.
I don't think it.
Or you don't get to ride.
But the episode was if you win $100 million. There's a big difference between winning it and earning it over the course of years and working, and that's different.
Oh, this is excellent.
Like winning the lottery is like this free is
excellent.
Fucking money.
This is excellent. Let me hear you backpedal here. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let me show you guys a little bit of wizardry right here. Go ahead, Sal. Go ahead. Show him your wizardry.
No, I see what Adam's doing though. He's trying to address this so that way we can, you know, move forward.
He just wants me to buy a Lambo with him.
Exactly.
In the future.
Exactly. I want to help him out. So people won't like be mad at you.
Well, that's just, it was all stemming from the supplement things. I did a video of Sal trying some, you know, pre-workout samples.
Oh, I love your socks, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. So I did a
you fucking idiot.
Let's not bash them anymore.
Sorry.
Major supplement company sock.
You know, moving along here, I'm going to move this. I'm going to change the subject here.
Thank you. I always try samples at those places because I like to feel weird. Everybody knows if something's going to make me, it's going to alter my consciousness.
Guys, it's going to check me
if
up.
It's going to give me some pre-workout, I'll try it and have a little fun, but that's not going to drink it on a daily basis. Plus, it tastes good. You know what I mean? You're walking around, it's like, fuck, that looks like it tastes good.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's what I did.
Plus, there's normally some girl in tiny little shorts, their ass cheeks hanging out, and a tummy shirt that's handing it out to you.
A tummy shirt.
Here, you're going to hurt my feelings if you don't drink this.
Yeah.
Exactly. I guess I'm drinking this.
There's the real truth. Yeah. There's the real truth. Yeah. You know what else happened while we were there was Justin and I went back the second time.
Right.
And the douche meter actually does go up as the evening goes on.
It does.
Sun goes down, the douche meter goes up for sure.
Dude.
Because early in the morning wasn't so bad. Later on in the
afternoon. There was like a pyramid of like shirtless flexing dudes.
Yeah.
No.
I was like, what the hell? Like, I wanted to throw a grenade over there.
So when Justin and I went back the second time.
It's extreme.
Is that extreme?
We ran into our boy, Figment of Your Imagination.
Yes.
The artist that...
Oh, yeah.
Let's give him a big shout out.
Yeah. Fucking guy. This is who drew a portrait of me last year.
Yeah.
Did one of Justin this year. And super humbling experience for me, super humbling experience for Justin.
Does he know there's does he know there's a trio in the
show? He does. He's aware, bro, and he's working on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and
he said you're the most muscular, so he needs
the most
bigger canvas.
Yeah, right.
He needs a bigger canvas.
He wants to give it right.
He has to buy the right color tan crayon to go.
No, but anyways, he did this amazing drawing of Justin, and we went there to go pick it up and say hi to him, talk to him. And I haven't seen him since last year. First of all, dude is jacked.
I was going
to
tell you.
What
Adam showed me a picture of like from the time that like he was presenting.
He gained like lots of muscle.
Yeah, man.
Dude, he looks badass.
And he's been telling us that like he's really been applying a lot of things we talk about.
No way.
On the show. Yeah.
Hold on a second. Well, we made another person more buffed.
Yeah, he's buffed.
The great part was
a better drawer now even, right?
I saw him.
I like mine better.
I saw him and I was like, dude, he looks way more buff. And then when I went back and I looked at the pictures and I saw the picture of him and I together
last year.
Oh, huge difference. Yeah. He looks phenomenal, but not the point of what I'm trying to tell you guys is for. What he did bring up that was, you know, I thought was kind of neat. We talked to him for a good, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, maybe longer, and got a chance to share some stuff with him that I thought was kind of cool because he was like, man, he's like, it's so crazy. I've been listening to you guys since day one. And, you know, some of the shit that you guys said was going to happen in the industry, I can't believe how much of it is coming true. Like, how the fuck do you guys know that? I said, you know what's crazy? I said, I know...
we have magic.
Yeah, I know Sal likes to pretend on the show that we're like super...
He's got a crystal ball.
Yeah, super brilliant and we can see the future. But in reality, you've got three guys that have been in fitness for 15 to 20 years. And at that point, I'm standing inside the convention and I'm pointing at everybody and I go, this is not fitness, bro. Yeah. I know you think it is because this is kind of part of the world that you're a part of. I'm a part of this world also. And a lot of people, this is being glamorized right now. I mean, 15 years ago, this didn't even exist. There was no expos for fitness. And if there were, there was fucking 20 people there. And they were all related to the people competing later on that afternoon. So what you see right now is just totally glamorized of the reality. And that's the problem with the industry. And I said, so for us guys that have been in fitness for, you know, 15 plus years, and we've seen everything, and we realize, like I said, this is not fitness. These are a bunch of competitors that get in extremely good shape, and supplement companies that use those competitors to promote their products and their supplements. And they've created this monstrous growing industry around it. So that being said, it's very easy for guys like us to look at things that looks very trendy and gimmicky that fall into what people think is the fitness industry, and it's not. You know, there's some very fundamental things about health and fitness that we've known for a very, very long time, and us trainers that have been training thousands of people before, we've been practicing these.
They just get less sexy because, you know, this whole, like, fandom sort of comes out of nowhere and then attaches itself to, you know, the brand. Branding, the marketing, the, you know, sexy people involved with it, and this just becomes the pinnacle of what everybody now thinks the definition of fitness is, which is not the case.
It's not. It's actually not hard to predict some of the direction that it's going. It's really not. If you look and you see,
it's not hard for us. It is hard for.
Well, I think
people are caught up in all of that. When you pick up a magazine and you read an article and you read these things that you think you're getting good information, it's hard for someone like
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. Look, we're up on the cutting edge. Yeah. We read a lot of studies and science that comes out. We also, because we've been doing it for so long, we know what works and what doesn't work. And we can just see what's happening. And we've also been in the business of fitness for a long time. And we know how effective marketing can be. And so when someone's, you know, when studies come out showing functional movement, then we know, oh, there's going to be a functional movement, you know, coming out, you know, big trend that's going to come out. When we see CrossFit and we can see that, you know, that type of trend, what that's going to start, you know, those types of things.
Well, it reminds me a lot of, like, sports analysts. You know what I mean? Like, why do they a lot of times, like, why can they see certain things like happen to certain athletes or certain teams making certain moves, or, you know, they do a lot of this analysis of, like, you know, what's going on in their particular industry in the sporting realm.
Analogy.
And so for us, we're at that level where we've been in it for so long that, like, all we do is analyze. It's like, I know the basic fundamentals of each modality out there, unless it's something I've never heard of, which there's not a lot of those left. And to see now, like, going through all that, like, I have a very good perspective of, like, okay, there was elements of this that were good, but, like, for the most part, all of this is just fat. This is, like, you know, nonsense.
And a lot of it's being driven by kind of, there are more, there's more than just us that's kind of the alternative, you know, fitness advice type of stuff that's coming out. Like, Joe Rogan's a great example. He's not a fitness show. He's not a trainer. But they do kind of have that alternative approach to fitness. And so companies are being spurred from this. Organic is entering into this supplement market. Organic's getting big. Plant-based is getting kind of big. These are all things in the lexicon of fitness supplements that didn't even exist 5 years ago. Like, who gives a shit about organic protein 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. Good luck finding organic protein 5 years ago. Now, right. Organic is becoming a thing. And so it's all going in that direction. So when we talk about fitness and wellness, you know, kind of merging together,
right.
It looked inevitable to me. I think when we first met, before we even started the show, I brought it up and I said, guys, this merging is inevitable. It's going to happen, whether it happens now or it happens later on from now. Mm-hmm. We need to start our show now and talk about this, because then we're going to look like freaking prophets. When in reality, you could see that is the inevitable trajectory, is where wellness and fitness are going to combine, and it's going to mean health again.
Well, and this is also what's ironic about when people try and debate us. Like, the, you know, recently somebody got onto Sal's page again. People always love to get on Sal's page and start, you know, these debates. And sometimes they're intelligent debates. Like, somebody actually reads studies and stuff. The problem is, you know, even these smart guys that, you know, read these studies or even write books about fitness. You know, unfortunately, they use and they apply all these studies that were put together and from they're biased.
Yeah.
You know, and
biased and poorly controlled.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's a lot of that floating around in the industry still, and it's going away. It's slowly going away. And like Sal said, you know, it's not like, you know, we have a crystal ball and we can see it. It's it, for us, we think it's very obvious, you know, and for us personally, we had moved away from all those things and in that direction, started moving in that direction a long time ago as we started to see this all unfold.
Well, and then too, it's how quickly, because of podcasting, because of tweets, because of social media, you can see how word spreads
fast.
And if it spreads that fast, once the general public like catches wind of any sort of like somebody like bamboozling them or, you know, putting something past them that isn't truth, you know, they get upset. And when they get upset, the backlash is enormous. And so it's like, you know, here today, gone tomorrow has become like even faster of a thing because of all this like fast moving information.
Yeah. It's the motherfucking qua.
Did the eagle poop in your eye?
Got me in the cock.
What?
I don't know.
Doug, was that the longest intro of any Q&A?
Yes.
Maybe.
Mr. Producer.
Was it five quas?
Mr. Producer.
By the way, you look fantastic in your brand new Mind Pump producer shirt. Are we going to have those available at all, Adam?
Yeah.
So we're going to sell the Doug shirt.
Yes.
How many do we have?
We only have 50.
And that's it.
Yeah, and it'll be a limited time thing. It just
this
says
this is the Doug shirt,
the exclusive producer.
It was those that since Sal spoiled it, I was actually going to talk about it in another episode, but he just go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. Yeah, that was supposed to be a surprise for Doug. Wow. I had a shirt customly made just for him, specially. I gave it to him on Saturday before we went to the Fit Expo. And the style is like, you know, those security shirts in the big, bold, white writing that says security normally across the chest. Instead of security, it says producer.
Yeah.
And then it has a very small Mad Mike logo on the backside. So I'm pretty pumped about that.
So if you're a producer, you should get one.
Yeah, if you
even
produce.
If you're not.
Yeah.
If you just want to look cool.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. You want to look like me.
You pretty much want to be a producer no matter what.
I think Doug's getting cocky.
I'm going to get myself a shirt because I believe I'm a producer.
Doug's getting cocky. He's been hanging around with
us. Cocky spinner.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, spinner.
All right. We've got some questions. Starting with Carlos Benitez, 760. He's asking about the best tips and exercises to correct shoulder impingement.
Shoulder impingement. This is one of the more common shoulder issues.
Yeah.
This contributes to issues with the rotator cuff, which is really the attachments of muscles along the scapula. So, what is shoulder impingement? When the humerus, the top of the humerus, moves in the socket, the scapula, the shoulder blade, has to move along with it. And if it moves improperly. If there are no bone spurs or anything anatomical, that's wrong. It's just shoulder impingement caused by muscle imbalance or poor function. That scapula then will press on the top of the acromion, which is the joint where the collarbone meets the shoulder blade. And there's a bursa in there that's supposed to help it glide. But if you consistently pinch and push on it, you get inflammation at the bursa, you get inflammation all the muscles that surround that. Mm-hmm. You feel pain in the front of the shoulder sometimes, you know, the bicep tendon. More commonly, you'll feel it in the back behind the shoulder, and you won't be able to put your arm behind your back type of deal. So, you know, along with that, you get issues with the external rotators, bicep tendon. So you want to, first off, you want to strengthen external rotation. So that would be an exercise where you have your arm at your side bent at 90 degrees, mm-hmm. and you rotate it out with a weight like a cable.
Yeah.
You also want to work on a rubber band will work. You also want to do exercises that bring the shoulders down and back because that opens up that area where that impingement's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So like rows and deep tissue massage on the traps. So
it's really like the shoulder blade elevating and getting in the way.
It's just, it's always movement. There with every movement. Yeah, exactly. Because right. that gap between the, you know, where the shoulder blade meets the acromion, it becomes more narrow as you lift the arm up. And if the shoulder blade travels up along with the arm, it pinches, it impinges. Yeah. So bring the shoulders back and down, I would say.
Doug, can we also, is this possible? We made a YouTube video. We made a video for of shoulder and hip mobility. That would help somebody like this. Is it possible that those that
make a shoulder impingement one?
Well, no, this there's a lot of shoulder mobility at movements in there that would help this also.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. But I was thinking that there's been a lot of questions around that. So it's all shoulder hip mobility stuff that we put together. If people were to, how would they contact you or email you so we can email them? How could we do that?
We could just direct people to the YouTube channel.
Oh, is it up on the, is it on the
channel? It is. It's unlisted right now, but I could make it public.
Okay. Or maybe post it on our site.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
But I think the YouTube channel is a good idea.
Okay.
Because for one thing, I want people to go over there and subscribe.
Got it. Okay. Good. Yeah, because that would be good to have some of that up there. Because
so what mind pump, what's the YouTube?
Yeah, search mind pump and you'll be able to find it.
Okay.
It's either us or those like gorilla guys at like Flex.
Yeah, I saw that. There was some mind some pump on YouTube one. That's got a bunch of, if you see a bunch of big juice heads, it's not us.
Yeah.
But that's a very common issue is shoulder impingement. And I'd say most shoulder problems or a lot of shoulder problems that I see in the gym come from that. Super common, especially if you work at a desk all day long.
Right.
Sleep on the job.
Get on it, Doug.
We got Sergio Ibar. What are some good exercises that will translate into an increase in squat and deadlift?
The squat translates well to the deadlift, number one. So whatever you get your whatever gets your squat better is probably going to get your deadlift better. The best exercise I can think of, I had to pick one, would be the front squat. I think the front squat would help you sit up upright in your deadlift.
I think goblet squat.
Goblet squat?
Yeah.
Same goblet squat would be good. Yeah. What about like a Zercher?
Yeah.
For the deadlift than the squat.
Yeah, the Zercher would be great for building the deadlift.
Yeah, I think the front squat, just because you front load the weight and you can work up to a pretty heavy weight. When my front squat goes up, my back squat tends to go up. And then almost always when my back squat goes up, my deadlift goes up. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do you notice increases in your squat when your deadlift goes up or vice versa?
You know what?
Recently, you've squatted more than you have. Didn't you hit a PR recently?
No, I missed my PR. That's right. I missed it barely.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I felt great at 405. 405 felt like it was easy, so I went for a PR right afterwards. Probably should have, thought about that. Mm. Probably should have went for the PR at 405 than during 405.
How much
did
you go up to, 415?
425.
Oh, see, I bet you could hit 415 though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, probably a smaller. Oh, yeah, but I don't want to.
You don't want to do the little tiny donuts.
That's like a little tiny.
No, see, that's where you miss out because now you got to wait like a few weeks before you can even attempt again.
Yeah. Well, if you guys like reverse hypers for me have been great for like deadlift because I need to really build my hamstring strength and also obviously good mornings.
I don't do those. I don't do reverse hypers. Yeah, I need to.
They're awesome.
I need to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I incorporate that I picked up just in the last year is the hack squats with the barbell.
Old school hack squats?
Old school hack squats.
Do you elevate your heels when you do that one? Or do you just stand flat footed?
I've done both. I've done both.
Which way do you like? I've never done them, either one. I haven't done them.
When I'm on the elevated heels, I can feel myself driving off my quads more.
Okay.
So I actually like to do in my chuck still. So the only thing I like my elevated heels in is when I'm squatting, when I'm back squatting, when I'm heavy back squatting with that. Even when I front squat, I can actually do it in my chucks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when I heavy back squat do I want to be in my heels. So other than that,
because it looks so sexy.
It does. Yeah. It does. No, I'm trying to think what have I seen translate into that a big time that's helped me out of a movement that I've incorporated. And I can't honestly, it's tough because squat is the king, you know what I'm saying? And nothing else.
Like to get your squat better.
Different
squat
types
more.
Of yeah, different yeah. types of squat.
Well, even just squat more.
And, I feel like the same thing goes
full
for
full tension. Like I don't know. For me, it's completely different because of stuff I've been messing with a lot. But like full tension squat. So they call it like the Dunphy squat, which is my friend. He just kind of came up with his.
Is that the one with
method.
The stick?
Yeah. It just so that way it really helps you to focus on more recruitment and also being supported intense in every single incremental.
It's like an isometric movement, right?
It's an isometric movement.
But he's
movement,
moving
but
within
you're moving
it.
With yeah. It. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like dynamic.
So you've noticed a big difference in your squat or
oh, yeah.
strength?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. The strength just because of like my supported ability to brace.
So let me ask you this. You're obviously the expert in the room when it comes to, this type of, high tensile, stabilization type movements with the stick.
Is tensile the term?
Yeah. Tensile would be
tensile.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you put on your tree?
Tinsel? Tinsel?
Tensile?
Tensile. You said it right.
I don't know if I said it right or not.
He's fucking with you.
Who knows?
I had to get it. He always gets me.
I have to.
I'm going to get Sal when he makes it
work. So let me ask you. Let me ask
you're
you,
putting
Justin,
tinsel on it, huh?
So this is your thing here. Yeah. I do them as part of a dynamic warm-up. Is that how are you using them, or are you making them part of your exercise workout?
I'm making it more of a max tension. So I'm really super intensifying the effort that I'm putting into.
So break it down, because the rep takes how long? Like how it's obviously very slow, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it takes me like a real slow four count to get down. Then I usually stay down about 6 seconds at the bottom, 6 to 10 seconds.
Okay.
And then I drive about 4 seconds back up. So the thing is that I'm applying a different, like,
you're just the whole time you're
pattern.
Tense as hell.
Yeah. The recruitment pattern is different for me pushing myself down, like with my upper body getting more involved in that. So I'm getting more recruitment than getting my upper body involved with. Yeah. So
now how many reps do you do of that? Or is that one rep and then you rest?
So
that's exhausting.
Exactly. Yeah. They're no, exhausting. You rest after, like, you know, the full depth, and then coming back and driving up into that.
So that's one, and then you rest.
So that's one, and then you rest. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'll get, like, you know, at least 10 to 20 seconds, you know, rest in between. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start doing them.
You know, still, though, that's a squat. You know, that's what.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
You mean variations of a squat?
Yeah. I mean,
it's totally a variation.
I think that's what I think to really answer that question best, I think we would all have to agree that nothing is going to translate into squatting and deadlifting like the variations of all those same movements. So if deadlifting, sumo deadlifting, and different types.
Yeah, trap bar and lifting off blocks.
Yes,
and doing all the variations.
Exactly. Yeah. All the variations of a deadlift, the same thing.
Deficit deads, if that's your issue.
Right, exactly. So I really feel like, you know, I've done other exercises. Like if the question was more geared around, like, you know, what are some different exercises besides the squat that help, you know, build your legs, you know, like build the look of them, or
you're,
like.
Yeah, they're talking about specific exercises.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say, look. Front squats for me, for squats, it's a variation of a squat. And for the deadlift, the good mornings did give me some good translation, but it's still a hip hinge, right?
Yeah.
But those two would be the only ones I would pick. But again, like Adam's saying, like even a lunge, if you look at the anatomy of lunge, all a lunge is
a single leg squat.
It's a split leg, split stand squat.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's all it is. Well.
Meh.
I want to help. I feel like I want to help that person out, give them something else. But I feel like there's just there really isn't any. Just squat. Here's the thing, though. Squatting and deadlifting must have 50 variations each.
Oh yeah.
You know, you could go all day or all year long varying.
Bro, I haven't used the machine for my legs in like 10 years.
No, why would you? It's dumb.
Meh. All right, next up, Dave Kurzaminski is asking, if he eats enough protein to maintain or gain, do calories matter?
This is a great, you know why I like this question? I don't want to embarrass Dave, this is a good question.
No idea.
But let me tell you why this is a good question. Because this reflects the absolute shit that the supplement industry has put out there. This kid or this guy is asking us, do calories matter if I get enough protein?
Yeah.
Because
that's God right now.
Yeah, because
protein is
all that matters. It's the only macronutrient, and that's all that your body needs to build, and that's it, and nothing else. Like, carbohydrates and fats are essential, number one. Mm. You don't eat enough fats, you're going to die. Yeah. Carbohydrates aren't essential, but they do provide some benefit, and calories are very important. You could be in a calorie deficit, but have twice as much protein as you need, and you're not going to build muscle. Ain't going to happen. You'll get sick and die. Like, the macros are important and calories are important. If you want to gain, you got to take in more than you burn.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to lose, you got to take in less than you burn. And it doesn't matter how much protein you eat within those parameters. Now, protein's important and there's an ideal amount. But if you hit that ideal amount and then fuck everything else up, you're not going to do well.
Yeah. Well, I read that and I think I would answer that differently, because if I eat enough protein to maintain or gain, do calories matter? I think, like, he's more concerned, like, you know, my goal is gaining and I get the protein I need, do I need to really worry if
that's what I'm saying. Like,
eat 3,500 or 4,000 calories? And absolutely you do, because
everything helps you gain.
At one point, you're going to be putting on more fat than you are muscle. You know, if you continue to eat in such a large surplus, then yeah, you might add a half a pound of muscle, but then you put 2 pounds of fat on. And in reality, your scale goes up, but you're not any fitter than what you were before.
Well, I'm just, here's
unless you're a strongman contest and you're trying to be as strong as you
possibly. And that's if you're eating too many calories. And if you're eating too little calories, you ain't going to build muscle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's my point. Like, fat and carbohydrates contribute to muscle growth as well, yeah. As well as protein. So it's not the only macronutrient. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can't eat too much of it. I'm literally, the protein is treated like it's this magic macronutrient. You can't have too much of it.
Yeah.
Nothing bad will happen if you have too much of it. And just worry about your protein intake and nothing else matters.
Which is strange, because if you had to pick one macronutrient that you'd put as the priority, right?
Fat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fats would be it.
In defense to the
of protein,
yeah. In the defense of protein, no, really. In the defense,
Adam's the protein spokesperson.
I am ambassador
for protein.
In the defense of protein, I know I've said this more than once. Is that in all my training career, every client that I ever took on that I had that trained, other than competitors, because I'm not talking about that world. Normal human beings that just come to me that need to lose weight or want to work on some building some muscle or that, and they don't know the first thing about nutrition or working out, and I assess their diet, all of them under ate protein. Yeah.
They overeat carbohydrates.
Yes. Yeah. And every single person who I've ever met that has hired me that's competitors, and they were in the bodybuilding world or bikini world or whatever it is, they all overconsume protein. So there is a huge difference between who we're speaking to and who you are listening right now. If you're an average Joe, you've never tracked your macronutrients, you eat whatever the fuck you want when you want to, which is normally sweets and alcohol and crazy things like that, more than likely you don't get enough protein and you overconsume on carbohydrates. If I'm talking to the fitness guru and you're hardcore, you read all the magazines, you've been to all the fit expos, you love bodybuilding and men's, but you one day you want to compete, you're probably overeating protein.
Yeah, you're probably eating so much protein, you're supplementing with it.
Yeah.
That's how much you're eating.
Exactly.
Westy Gaines. Who is the worst person in the fitness industry? In other words, who is causing the most problems with their programs and products?
Well,
who do you want us to throw under the bus?
We'll make Justin start.
I'm not going
Come
first.
On, man.
Someone's going to. I'm not going first.
Justin, go ahead and throw it.
I've already brought enough heat on me.
Dude, I already know who Justin wants to say.
No, you think.
Oh, okay. Let's
hear it. I honestly just think it's people that like haven't. It's these like people that are professionals that are sought after by like your average person. And it's the ones that like their voice has never changed throughout the years. Like they haven't paid attention to any new research. You know, they just keep like hammering people on either intensity or, you know, like just starve yourself of carbs. But like there's no rhyme or reason behind it. It's just like, old information that it's like beaten into our head. That's like detracting people from the truth. So it's anybody, in my opinion, that is like out there just like blatantly sitting pretty on old information and then trying to argue, you know, their same position over and over and over again. And yeah. I don't know, like if I have to like voice just one person, that's kind of hard. Because there's so many of them.
It's true. I would say the entire, most of the industry is driven by, you know, companies that sell products. And so it's interesting because it's an industry driven by and fueled by and funded by those types of things. And so the information that comes out is going to be through that lens. It's going to be through that filter. And so it's hard to say who the worst is because a lot of these people are good people. Mm-hmm. They're not evil, you know, behind closed doors, you know, making evil laughs. Some of them are. Some of them are assholes. Some of these companies rip people off. We've seen, you know, these, you know, consumer reports come out. But I think some of them are good people. They're just living in this interesting bubble of a world where, you know, a lot of the information that they believe in is also false, but they truly believe it and they promote it. Like the, you know, eat so much protein, or you have to eat all these small meals, or take all these pills, you know, these different supplements for fat loss and muscle gain. And, you know, it's all great. It's all part of health. I think that the whole industry is driven by that. And so you just have a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then I would say in terms of exercise, like bodybuilding's fucked up fitness for a long time. CrossFit brought some of their own shit that's stupid, right. But both have also contributed a lot of good things.
Well, I knew that that was probably the one you thought.
I thought Justin would jump on CrossFit.
It's more of an annoyance thing for me than it is anything else, is because like I do a lot of similar exercises, and so what I do is in comparison to that, and I'm irritated that they're big enough of a brand that like anytime you use a mace bell or you jump rope or like that's CrossFit all of a sudden now, like that pisses me off.
Well,
because it's just like it is like they wrap it all under. I mean, that's part of it. The other part of it is that they're just like blatantly like. People are getting hurt and they're not changing. So they're not changing their process of how, you know, they run their athletes through their programs. They're not making it safer. You know, like people are still getting like really hurt and they're not addressing it in the way I would like to see them address it.
I agree. But I think we have to be careful on how we nitpick on something like that, because I don't know if you guys realize or not, but it's happening to we're doing it indirectly. What I mean by that is, you know, we have mobility sessions, we have focus sessions, we have trigger sessions, and what those are, these are tools, or these are ways of training the body that we have named, which is in turn kind of branding. But in reality, we're not making something new up. It's not right. New science. It's not a new exercise. But we're giving it a name, so it's easier for people.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah. Right. So I think that that's important, because at one point people, I mean, and the reason why I bring this up, because I actually caught this. It's now very common for me to go to any of my gyms that I work out, and there's at least anywhere between 2 to 5 people that are following one of the MAPS programs. And it's now gotten into where it's lingo, where I can walk up and just ask somebody like, hey, what are you doing today? And instead of them saying like, oh, I'm hitting buys and tries.
Well, that's 100% like, and we've even talked about this, like in contrast to CrossFit, because the only way to win is to create your own
beat him at
thing.
Their own game.
Yeah.
Beat him at
you create your own thing. And then like your thing is the thing.
Well, I mean, look, you can narrow down really, if you want to get real, just down to the basic, you can really narrow it down to the problem that CrossFit has brought to the industry is that they've made intensity. They've glorified intensity.
There you go.
And that they've taken exercises that require precise, controlled technique and put them under time and speed.
Yeah.
And so you've taken an exercise that's already complex as shit, mm-hmm. like you know, like Olympic lifts are super complex as hell, and then do them to fatigue, which is what you don't want to do with a very complex, dangerous exercise. That's really it. It really boils down to that.
Yeah.
What they've done great is, first of all, they've made, you know, lifting weights more mainstream than bodybuilding ever did. You're seeing people know, laymen know what CrossFit is now. Yeah. They know deadlifts all of a sudden, squats all of a sudden.
Well, they've split it completely in half because of it's the backlash because of the bodybuilding way the gym is set up. You know, they wanted to totally like go in a different direction with that, and they were successful with it because people did want a change.
Well, look at your gyms.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
I'm a part
There's boxes I'm a, now that CrossFit part of, started that.
I'm a part of two big gyms right now that have literally remodeled their gyms to totally cater to the CrossFit athlete.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we love it because that means we got platforms to deadlift and squat on.
But that's what I mean. Like, okay.
But if they're really, as a business, they're really catering to CrossFit. Is what
right. But it's not CrossFit that they're catering to. It's the exercises that CrossFit is popularized. Because if I go to these gyms.
Yes, but
right.
if you ask the gym owner, he would tell you, we're building this out for CrossFit.
You think
people.
So?
100%.
Because
you think if you were to walk in and ask course, Club dude. Sport why they yeah. built the fucking they, edge,
dude,
because they're like, we want to see more
knows
people squat
fitness,
and deadlift.
Yeah. Everybody knows fitness is two things, dude. It's CrossFit or bodybuilding. There's nothing in between.
Well, no, my point is this. When I go into these gyms, I don't see a lot of people doing CrossFit. I don't see people doing WODs. They tend to stay in those CrossFit boxes. What I do see is the exercises that nobody was doing before.
Yes.
Now they're starting to do. I'm seeing people do Olympic lifts now, but doing them right where they do them, they rest.
Well, I think, it resurrected that need for it.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I think CrossFit was a great thing. Now, some of the stuff they're doing, I think is stupid, but a lot of the stuff they've done is great. Yeah. And then forget about talking about their marketing brilliance is just...
Well, at the end of the day, this is how I feel. Like you said, they glorified intensity, which to me, anything that does that and is solely focused on that is, one, it's weak. And it's wrong. And the other thing that, and this will reign true forever. Here's a prediction for you. Never, ever, ever in the history of getting fit will a class setting be ideal for you. Ever.
No, it can't be.
So I'm just going to put that out there right now. it doesn't matter what modality or what new science.
You can't go above individualized.
We are so unique as individuals that our intensity level, the movements we should be focusing on, how we're focusing on those movements, all that stuff should change per person. Yeah. And if you're in a class setting that has 12 to 25 people in it, okay, maybe that one person for that workout in there, this is the perfect workout for them. But the rest of you, it's not. It's not the perfect workout. Is it a workout that burns calories? Absolutely. Does it kick your ass to get you sore? Absolutely. That's where the glorified intensity part comes in. In reality, there are much better ways for you to be healthy and fit than participating in a super intense driven class.
Let me ask you this. I am completely unaware if CrossFit, are they affiliated with supplements at all? Or do they, there is no CrossFit promoted supplements, is there?
I have no idea.
Or are they affiliated through their events?
No, because boxes are, the way they do a box, right? It's an affiliate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're affiliates, right.
So because they do like affiliates, then the private boxes now have the opportunity to do their own affiliates. So like, let's say if you own a CrossFit box, you would affiliate yourself.
So then I could do with that.
Yeah.
Now, are there any CrossFit athletes that are sponsored by big supplement companies? There has to be, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There has to be. Yeah, okay. Yeah. No. There's
just infiltrates everything that has to do with
primal. There's a lot of like their paleo is where they're based. Your paleo based.
They try to be like health. A lot of them try to be healthier than your standard.
They try, but they still have companies FitAid and all those other ones. Because FitAid's like fucking Red Bull, but a different brand.
You know what? That's a good point though, Justin.
They don't have any stimulants.
That's a good point though. They do tend to make health a bigger priority than the bodybuilding world.
I think so. I think
but what's good for you?
It's shifted in that direction.
I didn't get a chance to answer this question, but where I was heading with that. So who I think is the worst person, I definitely don't think it's singular. I think my peers, 100%.
The bodybuilding crowd?
Yeah. And I'm every single, champion, pro, men's physique, bodybuilding, every weight class you could think of, all of them get paired up with some supplement company. And the part that I feel for them and I understand, so I don't want to rag on them so hard, is if you were somebody, which happens, like a lot of these guys, they aspire to be these competitors, totally opposite of me. I wasn't that guy. Right? These guys aspired. I want to be Mr. Olympia. Like that's really a big deal for them. And you get involved in that and you realize this is the path that everybody takes. You work your way up to the professional level, you get on that stage. Eventually, supplement companies will come after you and want to sponsor you. Some coach will want to sponsor you and put his programs behind you.
You'll be on cover of magazines.
You'll be on cover of magazines. All these things are going to start happening to you, and then you're going to be able to build this empire and business around you. The unfortunate part is those are the people that I am the most disappointed in. Because those people are in a position to affect and change a lot of lives for the good. And those people are peddling all the shit that they're being sponsored, which in defense of them, okay, it's tough because this is the way they make their money. Mm-hmm. But what sucks is you got one of these guys that's a Mr. Olympia that's got 300, 400, a million followers that are following. And all the information this person is giving is awful. It's awful. Everything from program design to how to eat to what supplements to take. It's fucking awful. And the part that makes me mad about all the listeners who are listening right now that fall into it is the motherfucker probably didn't ever train a single person in his life before he got on stage. He got on stage and there is a handful of trainer/ competitors out there, but most of them that are really good competitors are better at being told what to do by some coach, which is starve their body and train like fucking a madman and take all these supplements. That those people have no fucking clue how to help people out.
Yeah.
And they're out there telling people, follow this program and do this supplement and train this way and eat this way. And it's like, dude, you are beyond underqualified to be giving this information. And I really think that this is how Lane Norton got his big, claim to fame, was because he was one of the first guys to come out in this industry and start calling the coaches out that were coaching the athletes up, because they're terrible. That's the other thing. Not only are the athletes, my peers, terrible, but the motherfuckers that are telling them what to do are terrible too. And everybody's looking, going like, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. they have the best physique. Adam, you're just a hater. That's because Mr. Olympia has such a better physique than you. Nah, fuck off. That has nothing to do with it.
Well, the advice is just not, it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the average person. And a lot of them look the way they do in spite of some of the shitty stuff that they do. And of course, throw genetics and get a lot of gear in there in the mix.
Yeah. Those.
And there you go.
Most of those guys, I got on stage to compete, prove that a guy like me who is not genetically gifted and is not ideal to competing can still compete and can do it without a coach, without supplements, with all this other crazy shit. But all the rest of these guys, they were built for this, man. You're champions. If you're an Olympia, if you're like a Mr. Olympia, you were built for this, dude. You were built for this a long time ago, and then you've been able to apply all this other stuff that you're taking to do that and training for nonstop, 24/7, you know, year in, year out to try and to accomplish this. And then they get this accomplishment, and then they believe that this gives them the credibility to train people, to tell people how to eat, to tell people what supplements to take. And that right there, I think that's hurting the industry more than anything, because that is what's, it's growing. It's exploding
Now.
Men's physique and bodybuilding world is exploding right now, more so than it ever has in the last 10 years. And so when I go to like the expo the other day, you know, it's cool to go around and so that, and we're kind of teasing about it, but I cringe because I'm like, dude, this is getting bigger. It's getting worse before it's getting better. We have an uphill battle ahead of us for sure. We're in a long fight. We're not like...
Here's the thing. I don't think they're going to go away, but I do think that they will never be mainstream. They're never going to be mainstream. Mr. Olympia will never be mainstream. Not even Mr. Olympia Physique will ever be mainstream. It's just a weird... subculture lifestyle.
What do you mean by the mainstream? What do you mean by that?
Like
Arnold Schwarzenegger's mainstream.
Arnold Schwarzenegger wasn't mainstream for bodybuilding. He was mainstream because he's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, but that charisma. Bodybuilding is what introduced him to the world.
It did, but he was on pumping iron. The guy is, that's it. He's like a god of charisma.
I agree, though. He wasn't like, the entire
he could have been
American
a golfer.
Could have given a shit if he was just in bodybuilding that whole time and never did anything else. I guarantee he wouldn't be as popular.
Bro, Adam, look, you're not a pro bodybuilder. You're a muscular guy. When you walk around, you're like a freak. Everybody looks like this guy looks, extreme. And you're not even, you'd have to gain 100 pounds to walk on a Mr. Olympia stage. That world, I don't think will ever go mainstream. I don't think anybody, the average person who wants to get in shape and, is ever going to look at that.
If you're singling out just bodybuilding, but when I say bodybuilding, I don't just mean, heavyweight bodybuilders. I mean everything that goes underneath that, which is women's bikini, women's figure.
Physique has gone a long way.
Classic, all this stuff.
I think physique is why it's grown so much, and so is bikini.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I 100% believe that, but that's just it, is I think it's getting worse before it's getting better. And we have an uphill battle ahead of us.
Yeah.
We talk about, people are like, man, you guys, I feel like you guys are influencing this and you're doing this. I'm like, shit, we ain't doing shit right now. Yeah. We're like a pebble in the ocean right now, trying to make a wave, dude. Yeah. Like just
making little notches.
Yeah, dude. There's a lot more going on. And these guys are the ones that are really fucking this industry up because don't trip. I mean, Mind Pump's going to get everybody. You just wait. I mean, we will. we will get everybody right now, but we're just not.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
I know. I have plans for that industry when we have the kind of money where we can invest 50 to 100 grand where we can bump into a show and make a wave, but I definitely want to, but we're just not in a position to do that yet. But when we are, we will. We'll make our wave over there, and we'll correct some shit. But people like that, to me, I think are the worst in this industry, and they're no different than the motherfuckers that were some professional athlete that get on covers of magazines or get their build Insta famous, and then because that now that they're recognized because they're a badass athlete, super genetics, and they look awesome, that they can now be giving people information about how to eat and how to train and do things like that. That's great, bro. You know how to train yourself.
Adam's not mad.
Whoa. Not at all.
Amen.
Yeah. Next question is from Any In Skip. What is the best workout song for all of us here?
We have to pick best one for everybody.
Song?
Everybody's individual. Yeah. Like, what's your go-to song?
Ooh, that's tough.
I'm angry.
I've got a couple that are really good.
Wake
Up from Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that always gets me just because of the build up, and then at the end he's screaming.
Yeah.
What's funny is I listened to Sepultura today.
Ooh.
And I cannot remember the name of the song that just fucking got me. I'm gonna look it up right now.
Oh, it's a good band.
It was
testosterone.
Yeah, Spectrum was pretty good. Impending Doom is pretty good too. Pantera. Love music from Pantera. That always get me going.
It doesn't really get better than fucking Hostile.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one's excellent. Walk from Pantera. Right. Well, that'll always get me going. So your turn. Who's next?
Yeah, I have Disturbed Down with the Sickness is probably...
Really?
Yeah, that's a good one.
It is a good one.
Disturbed Down with the Sickness is probably one, if not Tool, almost any Tool song I can get into.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Tool
so you don't like the super fast, like angry, crazy metal.
Like I listened to Pantera the other day because I know you guys were ranting and raving about it, and I hadn't heard Pantera in a long time, and I listened to something else that Justin recommended. And if it's... If it's so, and it's because I think I'm not adjusted to listening like that. I'm sure if I did it on a regular basis, eventually I'd get adjusted, but it's almost distracting. It's so heavy.
Yes.
It's so heavy.
That's why I like it.
It's so heavy. It's almost distracting where Disturbed and Tool is just heavy and hard enough for me, but I feel like it gives me rhythm. There's like a rhythm to it.
So you like to feel the music.
Yeah, I do. I like to feel it.
And I like to feel angry.
Well, that's why I like Audioslave sometimes.
I love Audioslave. Dude,
like, yeah. I'm not even gonna sing it, dude. I don't want to do it in injustice.
That's a hard dude.
You
to
know what
I'm saying?
I can't. No. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
also like a band not many people probably follow or listen to, but I always put as like a PR song is Triffids by Norma Jean. Like one of the heaviest fucking songs like ever. It's amazing.
It's got to be. What about, is there any like rap go-to song for you?
Oh, Eminem. I can listen to Eminem.
Really?
Yeah.
Tupac for me.
Yeah, and Tupac's not even gangster rap for me.
Yeah, and Tupac's not even like, it's not like giving me speed with my workout, but it's just, you know, I was when I went to high school when, you know, Tupac was
out. Bone Thugs.
Yeah, I can live to them.
Boom, 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 boom.
Bone Thugs and Tupac. And I'm a huge fan of all of them. And I have a playlist of all that stuff. That's kind of when I'm doing my neat or cardio or whatever. Mm. I love to listen to that. Or driving around. I need more oomph. I need Metallica. I listen to a lot of Metallica.
Do you guys do this? Do you guys have like a set? Like group of songs or album that is your that's like this is the one, but you don't listen to it all the time, so you want to save it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it loses its effect if you listen to it too often.
Oh yeah, yeah. For
like
sure.
Pantera is like Yesterday Don't Mean Shit. Oh, such a good song.
Yeah.
Dude.
So like
save it.
Yeah. So like Rage Against the Machines for me. Like I have to do it like twice a week, and then I'll play, it and then it gets me. If I listen to it every day, doesn't work. You know.
No. Of course. Yeah. It means first time hearing it in a while, right? For sure.
That's it. Hey, listeners, if you like Mind Pump, please go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. You could win a brand new free T-shirt. Also, check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Adam at Mind Pump Adam and Justin at Mind Pump Justin. And don't forget to go to mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.